Hi, and welcome to Fresh Voices, the podcast where we tell stories and learn new perspectives. I'm Julia Pinney, and today I'm here with Kayla Hewitt to talk about pride, why it matters, and make sense of why every business suddenly goes rainbow in June. Kayla, would you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Kayla. I used to edit this podcast, so I know it's top-notch quality. I am also on The Voice, but I'm also a lesbian. I am also a cautious advocate for pride, and I've attended pride festivals and parades for the last like 3 years, I think. So yeah.
Okay, great, thanks. So I'm gonna start out with just a hugely broad question.
Okay.
So what does Pride Month mean to you? The events, the parade, the rainbows that you see in all the windows.
So I have an interesting relationship to Pride, because the first time I ever came out to anyone was one of my really close friends back in Atlanta, and it was, for some reason, Atlanta has their Pride in October instead of June like everyone else, and so I was in Atlanta for a weekend staying with my buddy, and it just happened to be Pride weekend, and it also happened to be like after this whole summer of me slowly coming to this realization that like I liked women. But I hadn't said it to anyone, but at that point I was like getting to a point where I was like, I need to tell someone or else like I'm gonna explode. And so we were sitting in his room and he was like, oh, like Pride's this weekend, like I was gonna go, like what do you, and I was like, oh yeah, like I'd love to go to Pride. And he was like, Kayla, you're too straight to go to Pride. And I was like, actually, I have something to tell you.
So your friend's gay?
He is also gay.
Okay,
cool. Yes, okay. Yeah.
So did that make it easier to come out to him?
Yeah, because okay. It was, like, one of those things where it was, like, he was one of those people that, like, if, when I told him, it was, like, oh, thank God. Like it's better this way for everyone. So, yeah, and then, like, the next day, I went to my first Pride, which was, so Pride is a lot of the time split up into, like, 2 days. So one day is, like, the parade that I think most people think of, and then the other day is, like, a festival where people have, like, stands, and you, like, walk around and get free stuff, and then at night there's a concert. So we were going the day of the festival, and we kind of just walked around. It was pretty much what you'd expect, just, like, you know, a bunch of queer people kind of milling about. And then, like, that night was, like, I don't even know who was performing. It was, like, some woman who I think was popular in the 80s.
Okay.
Just, like, and she was incredible. And we, like, danced all night. And, like, I just remember, like, walking, leaving. And my friend had, like, run ahead of me and was just, like, screaming and dancing, like, I love being gay. And I'll, like, never forget that moment, because it was, like, welcome to, like, this community for me. And then it was, like, this is, like, so joyous and not, like, I guess what, like, a lot of people would normally experience. So, like, Pride is meaningful to me for that. Like, having those spaces, I think, is deeply valuable, especially for young people kind of, like, figuring it out. However,
yeah, wait for the other shoe to drop.
However, I'm deeply uncomfortable when I go to, like, the Pride parade, which is my least, like, I like the festival more than the parade. But when I go to the parade and, like, you're kind of hanging out and then there's, like, you know, like a Bank of America float or like a United Airlines and you're like, I don't really, like, maybe, or like MPD will stroll down and I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable with this as a thing and, like, us all cheering this on and, like, you're not actually doing anything for queer people and it's just rainbow capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're bringing up two really big topics that I wanted to talk to
you
about, the first of which was corporate pride. Like, I was looking at this, I was just going through BuzzFeed as I do when I just want my brain to turn to mush.
Yeah.
And it had this great list of 32 products that supported LGBTQ businesses, and either the businesses were run by LGBTQ identifying people or the money went towards organizations helping LGBTQ youth. And it was saying that this was a counter to all the kind of rainbow outfits that you could buy from H&M or Forever 21. But then as kind of I'm walking around, like, you know, there's little tiny rainbow flags in all the flower pots at Compass Coffee.
Yeah.
And the Ralph Lauren logo has turned rainbow, like, in the window. I was just reading this article that, like, Dallas is installing rainbow crosswalks in one of their one of the neighborhoods
yeah,
in
yeah,
their
yeah.
city. And I think something that I probably feel is that it shows, like, this is a safe space, mm-hmm. but also at the same time I kind of wonder how much Ralph Lauren is actually doing
yeah.
for their gay employees yeah. and making them feel safe in this environment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, this is actually timely because I just got finished working on a whole segment for my internship about recent violence against queer people, specifically trans women.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of shocking to, like, one, have to spend so much time looking at all these acts of violence in a city that, like, is generally pretty gay safe.
So you're talking about D.C.?
D.C., yeah.
Okay, D.C., great.
It's, like, pretty generally gay safe, but, like, all of these things are still happening. Or, like, in a place like Dallas, like, they've had a lot of violent attacks, but, like, they're putting these rainbow, like, crosswalks out. And, like, I'm not as familiar with, like, local government in Dallas, but it's, like, what are city officials, what are, like, the police departments doing to actively protect queer people?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, like, I think D.C. doesn't do, like, a horrible job. I think they do make an effort, but it's still, like, it's still going to be an issue. And it's still, like, I don't really care if, like, Uber has, like, the little, like, rainbow, like, slug when you, like, track your...
Yeah.
When you track your ride, if it's, like, still going to be a horrible corporation, you know? But it's also, at the same time, on the flip side of that, I understand, once again, especially for people who are younger, people who are trying to figure it out, like, the power that it can have to see all of this everywhere. You know, to, like, look up and, like, when you're walking down M Street and see, like, rainbow flags everywhere and be like, okay, people... Because that's not a privilege that a lot mm-hmm. of people have been afforded, to, like, look around and be like, at the very least, people aren't going to be actively hateful toward me, you know? They're at least going to pretend like they don't yeah. mind it, which is a privilege. But at the same time, it's like, that means we just need to take it a step further and, like, put your money where your mouth is and, like, actually help queer people, specifically, like, trans people mm-hmm. and trans women. But yeah,
because I think there is definitely an element of, like, this is okay,
yeah.
like, kind of the visibility aspect.
Mm-hmm.
What sense do you get of people understanding its relation to Stonewall, or just people going to kind of go?
Mm-hmm. I think generally, especially with it being, like, the anniversary of Stonewall, I think more and more people at least know of, like, where Pride came from. But I don't think that a lot of people fully understand, like, the idea of protest behind it. Because it has turned into, like, a parade and, like, fun. And I think that's a beautiful thing, and I think that can be an act of protest in and of itself. But I think there's, like, two issues with it. There's one, it's, like, if you forget, like, the activist roots, that's problematic. But two, it's also, we're not looking inward within the queer community and supporting those who need it more. So if you're, like, a cis gay white man,
mm-hmm.
like, you're kind of the creme de la creme. Like, yeah. you get to, like, you get afforded much more privilege than other people in the queer community. And you also are most likely going to have the most money of other people in the queer community. So it's also, like, looking inward and being, like, what is, like, is there transphobia happening here? Is there, like, racism happening in here? Which I don't think a lot of Pride events are, like, self-reflective enough to do that. But, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, on one hand, like, I really want, like, the Dyke March happened again in D.C. for the first time. I'm like, okay, that's a really cool thing. But it's also,
can,
like,
you explain what the Dyke March is?
The Dyke March, I don't know as much as I should about it.
That's,
but
I don't know anything at all. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. It got its start in D.C., and it's just, like, a femme-specific, more activist, like, protest rooted event. And it happened again in D.C. for the first time in several years. I forget how many. So, like, that's a cool thing. But it's also, like, I think there can be fun in Pride. And, like, that, like, Stonewall was, a bar, you know? Like, I think mm-hmm. that is in there, too. Like, the joy and, like, of being free with and in community with each other is also an important part of it. But it's also, like, you can't forget that, like, shit's still crazy now.
Yeah, yeah. So, for anyone who doesn't know what Stonewall is, and Kayla, please add
yeah.
if I miss things. But Stonewall was basically this uprising in New York. And mm-hmm. so, New York bars that were not granted licenses if they were going to serve gay patrons.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of ran this underground network, and police, it was very common for police to break up bars raid them, but mm-hmm. this one specific night in 1969, basically, it had been a string of, I think, like, three or four bars had been broken up in, like, a five-day period, mm-hmm. and everyone in this, in specifically at Stonewall, said, okay, enough, and turned it into a protest, and mm-hmm. tried to push over the paddy wagon, and basically resisted mm-hmm. Police taking them away.
Yeah.
And I think also something about Stonewall that was special was that it was this, like, space mm-hmm. that people could go, especially young gay people could mm-hmm. go, and if you could pay the $3 entrance fee, mm-hmm. you had a place to go for the night, and mm-hmm. you had a community for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting how the activist roots of the gay movement from Stonewall have kind of carried on, but changed, mm-hmm. of kind of what you were saying yeah. about how now I think a lot of the focus, especially with, like, Black Lives Matter stopping a lot of pride parades recently, mm-hmm. is this focus on, okay, we've made all these strides, now what can we do yeah. now?
And it's also, I think, something that's difficult with the protest aspect of it is I feel that, especially in older queer communities, you might have quite a few people who are like, all right, all I ever wanted was to be accepted by, like, mainstream society. And then I think you have, and so, like, you get gay marriage and, like, kind of you get to exist within that normative realm. And then I think you have a younger generation of people who, like, want to play more, not to say that, like, older generations didn't play with gender, but, like, you have, like, a younger generation that's kind of pushing things further and further and being like, oh, maybe we don't even want, like, marriage, maybe, like, polyamory, maybe, like, all these other things that aren't necessarily easily legislated, you know? And it's just, like, a more of a shift in culture. So there's also, like, tension within these communities.
Yeah, like, how do you feel about sort of the tension within the gay community of either integrating mm-hmm. into mainstream society versus really kind of celebrating the uniqueness of mm-hmm. the gay community? Because I feel like pride, in a way, I mean, I don't know, I feel like corporate sponsorship kind of coming in maybe yeah. is making it sort of more mainstream,
yeah.
Which, like, has its pros and cons, of course, yeah. but then it is, I think, definitely when you kind of see, like, especially, I remember I went to the Pride Parade 2 years ago, I think, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, and just, like, seeing gay men walking down the road,
mm-hmm.
Being, like, led in leather, like, yeah. leather leashes. Like, yeah. there's, like, or just seeing, like, topless women walking down the street. Yeah. There's definitely a celebration, and just what everyone's wearing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely a celebration of being exactly who you want to be yeah. on this day.
And that's, like, the most beautiful thing to me about Pride. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's why I think I continue to go, even though I have these mixed feelings, is, like, it's such a cool thing to, like, look around and be like, everyone's just kind of doing what they want right now. And it's, like, really beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely more on... I think it's difficult because I was once talking with the woman who runs the LGBTQ Resource Center, and she was like...
At Georgetown.
Yeah, Georgetown. Mm-hmm. And she was like, it's just hard because there's literally no community that's as diverse as, like, the LGBTQ community, because every race, every, like, social, like, class, every gender, like, everything is there, and we all just have to, like, unify somehow, like, even though, like,
yeah.
there's not, like, there are things that, like, connect us, but it's also, like, we're not gonna agree on most things because we're all, like, inherently very different. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about adding, I know that there's kind of a movement out there to add a brown stripe
mm-hmm.
to the rainbow flag. The
brown and black, yeah. If I recall correctly, it's, like, started in Philly or something like that. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, yeah. but I'm also, like...
I think it also yeah. probably kind of goes into what you were just saying about yeah. the director of the LGBTQ Center of
yeah.
adding that... To what degree is adding that brown stripe
mm-hmm.
making the flag now not representative of the entire community?
Yeah.
Even as it's playing a really important role in kind of bringing to light the yeah. issues that the gay community has mm-hmm. right now?
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, like... It was always a rainbow. And then it's, like, to, like, stress and be like, oh, yeah, like, brown and black people are, like, also a part of this community. It's like, yeah, we know. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know. But I fully understand it. And it's not like if I saw, like, a rainbow flag with a brown and black stripe, I'd be like, man, what the heck? I'd be like, okay, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter to me. But it's, like, once again, it's just, like, I'm not here for the symbolic, like, change. I'm here for, like, active change in thought, you know?
Yeah, and... I mean, there has been active change in thought, which mm-hmm. is really cool to see. I think that's what's always really cool about June is that then there's all these think pieces that come up that mm-hmm. really kind of analyze what has happened, mm-hmm. like, in the past, especially this year, because it's the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, just, like, what has happened in the past 50 years. Mm-hmm. And, like, the one thing that I think is really interesting is, like, the term queer and how that used to be an epithet. I was like, am I mispronouncing the word? And how just, like, I was watching this great video about how there used to just be no words that gay people had pride in. It was either you were homosexual or you were a homo, mm-hmm. which are both, like, one is very, very, like, just awful to say, and the other is so medical. And I think that's what was really cool about Stonewall was this shift from homosexual being this, like, medical term, mm-hmm. and this thought that, like, you had a mental illness, to actually, no, we're just this group of people who has interest and rights and are a group that deserves, you know, certain supports in the same way other minority groups do.
It's interesting. Actually, last weekend I was visiting a friend in their hometown, and I met their grandma, who was, like, just the best woman, if I'm being honest. I love her more than most things. But we were, like, having a chat, and she was like, "So Kayla, like, are you like, is there a man in your life?"
Oh, goodness.
And she's like old, which is so it's like fine or whatever. And I was just like, "I'm gonna be honest with you, Nan, I don't date men." And she was like, "Oh, like, that's fine, da, da, da," and, like, whatever. But then we also, like, my friend was like, "Oh yeah, like, a lot of my friends are queer." And then we were telling her parents about it later, and they were like, you know, she was probably confused when you said the word queer. Like, she probably, like, didn't understand it as, like, just kind of a catch-all. She probably understood it more as, like, a derogatory.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that was the word I was thinking for earlier.
So I think the reclamation of a word like queer is interesting. And I also think that there is room to move toward, to move away from, like, calling it, like, the LGBT Q plus community, just, like, the queer community. Just because I think if we're embracing the idea of, like, all of this being on a spectrum and all of this being quite fluid, then I think, like, inherently by having these categories, it's like, oh, well, like, that's not really what it is. So if you just had, like, one thing that was just, like, not straight gender normative, mm-hmm. like, just in that realm, I think that'd be an interesting thing. But also, like, calling to, like, into focus that, like, not all sexualities get treated equal and not all gender identities get treated equal and, like, things like that, even with that in mind, you know?
I saw this really interesting statistic, because it's just, like, it's in all the conversations I have mm-hmm. With people. I saw this statistic that less than 50% of 13 to 20-year-olds identify as 100% heterosexual.
Interesting.
Which I think is so interesting.
Yeah.
I think that there's definitely, just, like, as I talk to people and as, like, I talk to friends about, like, our dating lives, I think there is this increase of people just being a lot more, well, as I say this, I realize it's really kind of, like, the women I talk to are, like, a lot more open to date. They're like, yeah, I would honestly, like,
I would date a woman.
They're like, you know, actually, like, I've never dated a woman, but I would be open to it.
It's also, like, I feel like a big college girl, like, thing. You know, which is, like, honestly, I don't begrudge anyone. Like, you get out here, do your thing, like, that's fine. And it's also, once again, like, it is a spectrum. And, like, if you, like, maybe one girl is for you and, like, that's a thing, but, like, not all, like, I don't care. But it's definitely, like, a college girl thing. Like, I would date a woman.
No, yeah, it is kind of funny. I mean, it brings up this funny thought that I wanted to ask you about. Have you noticed a shift in the past 3 years that you've been to Pride of who attends Pride? Because I was having dinner with some friends the other night, mm-hmm. and we had some, like, spike. They had, like, so much spike seltzer. It was, mm-hmm. like, obscene how much spike seltzer they have. I was like, how much of this do you drink? And they were like, oh, my God, like, so-and-so got it. So-and-so got it for Pride. And, like, so-and-so is, like, not, as far, you know, I don't know, but as far as I know, like, really not gay and never going to be gay.
Yeah.
And I noticed that, like, when I moved into my house this summer, my housemates had, like, all these rainbow cups because it had been Pride the previous weekend, mm-hmm. like, before I moved in. And so I find it really interesting, this rise in, I almost feel like, and tell me if you disagree, but mm-hmm. I almost feel like Pride has kind of become, like, St. Patrick's Day or, like, Cinco de Mayo. It's become this strange, like, Yeah. I'm going to go, like, I'm going to drink. It's been A, become A, an excuse to drink, and mm-hmm. B, an excuse for an Instagram mm-hmm. post.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I don't know if I would even say I've seen a shift so much as it's just, like, in the last 3 years, that's kind of what it's been. Yeah. I don't know. To me, on one hand, I am cautious to ever be, like, no, you're not. Like, I'm in my head, like, most spaces, I'm like, okay, allies are always welcome. But I also understand the, like, importance and the value in, like, having a space where everyone around you is queer in some capacity. My thing is, listen, all you straight people out there who are trying, cis straight people who are trying to go to Pride, you have to be cool about it. You can't, like, I was talking to one girl one time, and she was like, yeah, like, this girl was, like, kind of all over me, and then I asked if I could kiss her, and she was like, ew, gross, why would we do that? And she was like, because you're not, what? Like, you, I think don't come to gay bars, that's fine, don't show up, but Pride, you can show up. But, like, if you're at a space like that, you need to understand that, like, people are going to assume certain things about you, and, like, you got to be chill about it. Like, obviously, you don't have to, like, you know, hook up with someone that you don't want to, but, like, you got to be like, oh, no, like, whatever. You got to chill out, because you shouldn't be there if you can't handle gay people, is my thing. Because, like, that is what it's for. And it's also, there's value in, like, going to a space. Like, that's why gay bars, partially, why, like, gay bars and, like, gay clubs exist, is to, like, go somewhere so where you know you will be meeting mm-hmm. people that could be interested in you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's, I don't have that much of a problem with straight people going to Pride. I could see it turning to a point where I'd be like, what's the point of going to Pride anymore? But at this point, like, I still, like, enjoy it, you know? And, like, I for the first year this year, I brought a straight person with me to Pride, and I felt okay about it.
Okay, why'd you bring that straight person?
He just, like, usually he'd never come with us before, because he was always like, it's not my place, and then this year, like, he came. Yeah. And we were like, that's fine. And there was also an allies float, and we were like, this
was
is
Was there really
you.
An allies float?
Yeah. Okay. We're like, this is representation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think also straight people or, like, cis people going to Pride, like, need to understand, like, you might get, like, kind of made fun of, and, like, you'll be uncomfortable, and it's like, yeah, that's fine. That's what this is here for.
Yeah, it's almost like, I don't know, flipping the narrative, flipping the chair, as our dear professor always likes to say.
Yeah.
Kayla and I are both American Studies
major. Yes, the best major.
Yeah, great
Georgetown
major.
College. Of
generally, like, generally queer people are the ones who are going to experience maybe being the butt of the joke or experience some type of discrimination.
Exactly.
And so it's, like, almost maybe, like, a good teaching exercise for straight people to go to Pride and kind of, I don't know, just be in a space that they might be kind of uncomfortable and not entirely know all the rules.
Yeah, and, like, just understanding, like, that, like, this isn't set up for you. Like, you might be here, but it's, like, you're kind of on the outside of it, you know? Which is fine, but, you know, if someone hits on you, just be cool, bro.
Just be cool about it, yeah. What do you think allyship looks like? Like, at the Pride Parade, or just, I mean, I guess you've kind of said that, but just in general?
I feel like in general it's more just about, I think a lot of it is about using your own privilege to, like, lend a hand to, you know, people in the community, because it's, like, or, like, using your voice to, like, further conversation. But also understanding that, like, your voice is not the most important in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, more, like, using it to give others a voice and, like, pull people in. Because, yeah, like, you can be like, oh, I'm cool with gay people, but if you're not gonna, like, defend someone or, like, help someone out, then, like, what use is that to anyone, you know? And, like, yeah, making active efforts to be helpful.
Yeah. So were there police in the Pride Parade that you went to this year?
Yes. There's always an MPD float.
There's always, okay, so you went to the DC Pride Parade?
Yeah, I've only been to Atlanta once, because it's in October, weirdly. And then the rest of the times I've gone to DC Pride. Actually, no, I've gone to Pride for the last 4 years. So my first year was in Atlanta, and then the last 3 years I've gone to DC Pride. Which is it's a fun time, but it's also a weird time. Yeah, when MPD comes through, it's always like,
Are there boos? Are there, like, what's the visible reaction of the crowd?
Like, sometimes it gets kind of, like, a little quieter. I wouldn't say people actively boo, mm-hmm. but people are kind of like, woo, all right, cool. Because it's just kind of an uncomfortable thing, like, just, like, the history of, like, the queer community and the police department. And I wouldn't want to, like, you know, well, I kind of would. But, like, queer people, like, in, like, a police department, like, I understand. It's just like one of those things, like, we're gonna disagree on this.
It's definitely a weird balance, because there are queer people in police departments who I think feel really supported by mm-hmm. the department that they're in, mm-hmm. but also you can't deny the fact that the policing as an institution has mm-hmm. done terrible damage
exactly.
to the queer community, and especially to Black trans women.
Yeah.
And so, kind of,
yeah.
how do you
And that's, like, another one of those things where it's, like, the queer community is so diverse. Like, you're gonna have police officers, you're gonna have people. I read there was an op-ed in the Washington Post around Pride where this guy who works for the NRA was like, I felt like really not included at this year's Pride parade because, like, I, like, fight for the Second Amendment and all this stuff. And I was like, bro, I don't care. Like, I really could have no tears for you. You're fine.
Yeah. I didn't want to bring it up, but I feel like you just gave me, like, hit the ball to me. Like, straight pride.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That is, like, quite something to handle. I think it does bring up this, kind of what you were saying about, like, straight people going to Pride and mm-hmm. feeling left out, mm-hmm. like, if that's even, like, a feeling you can have at Pride, and this idea, I don't know, it's something that I often think about, that, because I, you knew I was voices editor last semester, and, mm-hmm. like, I would be interacting with people or going into spaces that, like, it was not, like, my space to be in, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like, I went and I covered the Brave conference, and that was great, and I was probably one of three white people there,
mm-hmm.
And I was not the audience, and that was totally fine,
mm-hmm.
but I'm curious to what extent I was wanted there,
mm-hmm.
to what extent, like, the Black women there just wanted to talk about their experience and not necessarily have to adjust what they said, because I did notice they adjusted what they said
mm-hmm.
when they're talking to me specifically
mm-hmm.
for me to be there.
Any
thoughts on that?
Straight Pride is just straight up some bullshit. Yeah, like, it's just, like, assholes, really, who are like, we need this. And you're like, no, why? Like, really?
Yeah.
Who has the time or the energy to, like, be this hateful? But, yeah, no, that's a ridiculous thing to me. Or when people, like, I don't know, I run in a lot of queer circles
mm-hmm.
for, you know, several reasons, but I don't know, I feel like you don't have to feel like, I feel like if you feel othered, you're kind of othering yourself. Yeah, people are gonna make jokes at you, and you're like, oh yeah, you're, like, fucking straight, and da-da-da-da. But it's like, yeah, who cares? Like, continue on
mm-hmm.
with your straight privilege.
Yeah,
like,
it's
fine.
Like, it's like, maybe feel a dose of what it's like to just feel supremely uncomfortable in a situation. Because that's, like, how everyone else who you're currently with feels a majority of the time.
Exactly.
So, like, you can put up with it for, like,
Saturday
afternoon.
Yeah, and if, like, you choose to, like, enter this space, like, just understand that. And, like, also, if you choose to enter this space, you need to understand that you're going to need to learn how to interact in this space. Because I've definitely been around straight people in, like, majority queer spaces who, like, will mess up with pronouns. I'm like, and you're like, I understand that you're learning, but I also need you to try.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And in that situation, have people been understanding? I mean, the straight people, have they been apologetic, is what I mean.
I think for the most part, people will be. Some are just oblivious and then kind of continue.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, but, like, stop. Just, like, we're all actively creating this thing, and you're just kind of shitting all over it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you
read much about, like, the difference between the young queer community and the older queer community, even though they wouldn't necessarily identify probably as the queer community, the older
A little
generation.
Bit. I actually, it was funny, we did a show last week about drag, and we got a caller, Colin, who was like, I feel like you guys just cover, like, the really, like, out there flamboyant, like, gays. Like, I'm just, like, a boring old lesbian out here in the suburbs, like, with my family, and, like, why don't you talk about us? And I was like, that's a really interesting kind of the way of thinking about it, because, like, she's an example of, you know, like, someone who just, like, kind of wanted to conform and, like, get on with her business. But I think that if you're going to have that, you also, like, need to be accepting. Like, if we can't accept everyone and, like, all their flamboyance and all their, like, queerness and all of that, then it's, like, what's the point of, like, doing any of it? Mm-hmm. But it is cool. Like, one of the most, like, incredible moments I think I've had since coming out was last year my ex-girlfriend was a year younger than I was, so I took her to, like, her senior prom,
mm-hmm.
and I wore a suit for the first time, and, like, I was fine. We, like, went to prom together, had a great time, and then the next week I saw our old history teacher, who was a lesbian and, like, a great woman, very snarky, and, like...
Did you know this in high school?
Yeah.
You did, okay.
I was very lucky to have, like, lesbian role models in high school and my teachers, and she came up, and she's, like, very snarky, not very emotional, and she came up to me with tears in her eyes and was like, Kayla, like, I just want you to know that I wish when I was in high school I had, like, had the courage to, like, wear a suit to prom, or I'd been able to, like, wear a suit to prom and, like, take a girl, and, like, I'm so happy that you get to, like, exist. And I, like, was like, I can't cry in the middle of this graduation like this. But it was one of the just, like, most beautiful moments where it was just, like, wow, like, so much had to happen for me to be able to exist in this way. So I definitely think that there has to be, like, in the younger generation of queer people, like, a certain reverence for what older generations went through, especially with, like, you know, the AIDS crisis and, like, just, like, there's so much stuff. And, like, that's not to say that we don't face anything, yeah. But it's still, like...
But I think it is a really interesting thought, like, kind of looking to what degree, I don't know, the fight has been won. Who mm-hmm. knows if the fight will ever be won, yeah. You know? And it does seem like the fight has totally shifted, as mm-hmm. as we said.
Yeah.
But, like, when you see advocacy organizations either merging or shutting down because, you know, don't ask, don't tell doesn't exist anymore, mm-hmm. and marriage is now a right,
mm-hmm.
I think probably maybe the next frontier would be anti-discrimination laws,
mm-hmm.
just because I think, can't remember the exact number, but definitely all 50 states, there's no legal protection mm-hmm. for being gay in the workplace.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think there is. But I think we're getting to a point as well, like, even with anti-discrimination bills, like, where it's more about working on, like, social thought than it is about, like, legislative difference, which is a lot trickier to, like, handle. And, yeah. like, you know, like, Harvey Milk back in the day would, like, encourage people and, like, almost, like, shame people to, like, come out, because he was like, you know, when someone knows someone who's gay, there's a higher chance that they'll shift their mindset. So I think, like, that's, if, like, just creating, like, continuing to create more places where, like, people can feel comfortable. Like, even myself, like, I'm very out. But, like, there have been times in, like, my classes where I just, like, wouldn't, like, would just shy away from, like, saying anything that would, like, point to that. But just because, I don't know, like, I was like, I can't be bothered. And that's such a weird thing, you know?
Was it, like, other students, or was it the professor?
It's just, like, I don't really want that vibe right now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, not to belittle that experience, mm-hmm. but I feel like everyone kind of experiences that to a certain degree, yeah, of, like, yeah. what part of my identity do I want mm-hmm. to be open, do yeah. I want to be open about right now?
Yeah, and, like, yeah, it's a weird thing. And it's also, like, I've kind of, like, structured, one, my life and, like, my general, like, aesthetic and appearance. I'm like, I rarely have to come out. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, like, to what extent do you think you kind of subscribe, because what you were saying about, like, the boring lesbian,
yeah,
who called into, by the way, Kayla is an intern at a radio show this
yes,
summer.
That is.
When you're talking about the boring lesbian, like,
yeah.
to what degree do you think you kind of actively play into, like, lesbian culture?
Like, oh, lesbian, gay culture? Like, stereotypes?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not stereotypes, but just, like, the idea of, like, being... You know, I do believe, like, being gay as a culture and being gay as, like, being married to a man or a woman.
Yeah, they're
are different, you know?
They're definitely different.
Like, I mean, not to, you know, goodness, bring politics into it, but, like, Pete Buttigieg, like,
yeah.
his whole cover on Time magazine with his husband. I
yeah.
think someone said, like, that's just heterosexuality without a woman. Like,
yeah.
they both look like they came right out of a J. Crew catalog. Like,
yeah. Because there's definitely, like, there is, like, gay in the terms of, like, the sexuality, and then there's gay in, like, what we mean of, like, that shit's gay. Like, that's just what it, like, there's a difference. And there's crossover, for sure. But there's, like, there's a culture that's, like, you know, become, in the same way that there's, like, not in the same way, but in, like, there's black culture, and that doesn't mean every black person, like, subscribes to, like, or, like, likes, you know, what people think of as, like, traditionally, like, black music or, like, anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's, like, we know what we're talking about when we say that. We know what we're talking about when we say gay culture. I feel like now, I feel like early days of me coming out was much more, like, straight up what people think lesbian. So we're still there, but it's I would say a matured version. I wear snapbacks less often. especially when I was, like, young, I dressed the most lesbian I've ever dressed in my life.
I don't know, you're kind of feeling out an identity.
Yeah, working it out.
Yeah, you know.
But yeah, no, like, I still, like, one of my really good friends, he's a gay man, like, I'm about to go take him back his shirt because the other night I crashed at his place and, like, he just lent me a shirt and he's a gay man and I'm a lesbian, so we have the same style. Like, like, it just works out like that. But yeah, there's obviously, like, no one way. But it's also, like, yeah, there's, like, social signaling and, like, things like that, which just make life easier. And it's also, I'm, like, surrounded by people who'd, like, be thinking in those terms, whereas, like, when I enter a space where there's, like, a 70-year-old woman, that's not gonna be her first thought, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely a funny thing. Yeah, there are a lot of lesbian stereotypes that I, like, the other day I fixed my friend's bike, and she was like, this is, like, the hottest lesbian thing you've ever done. And I was like, I know.
Is that a stereotype that, like,
yeah, like,
you're handy?
Knowing how to use tools. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, you just need an Allen wrench. And she was like, a what? And I was like, I got it. Don't worry.
That's yeah. Kind of fun.
But, yeah.
Cool.
Happy Pride,
people. Happy Pride, yeah. I mean, it's, thanks for coming on,
yeah,
talking to me,
course.
And telling me what your thoughts about the month. Did my conversation with Kayla today make you think about a story you've always wanted to tell? Is there an opinion you hold that you've always wanted to talk about? Send me an email at jtp65@georgetown.edu. Okay, I didn't give you a warning for this, so if you need a second to think,
okay.
Do it. But any last words for our listeners?
Oh, I knew this was coming because I've edited this.
Usually I give people give guests a heads up that they have to come up with, like, their favorite fun fact or, like, their catchphrase,
yeah.
But I didn't give you a heads up, I'm so sorry. We were having such a good conversation before we started recording.
I would just say, like, one, if you're struggling, like, figuring yourself out, that's fine. Find people who are okay with that. And two, if you're just, like, you know, just mayo straight cis, like, that's fine, too. But be cool, man. Just be cool.
Be cool. I like that. Good motto for life. Okay, so before I sign off, I'd like to thank Kayla, first of all, for editing this podcast for so long. And now Pana, the new podcast editor. First for editing, and second for the fantastic intro music. She wrote that herself. And I hope you'll tune in to the next installment of Fresh Voices, which will be coming up real soon. Thanks for listening.